I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz. Oh, my God. The show is over.
Yeah, we made it.
Wow.
So good.
Here we are at the bitter end, guys.
Wow.
Bow, bow, bow.
Wow.
Weddings and vows and tears.
I love the drama.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's so worth it.
It was so worth it. 10 episodes in. We are here at the finale.
Unbelievable.
Of Love is Blind on Netflix, guys. Welcome to our after show. If you are joining us for the first time, hello. We are your illustrious
panel. First time now?
Well, you know, better late than never, right?
Sure, yeah.
This is the episode to watch.
If you've been missing out on our recaps all season long, I don't know what to tell you. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel so you don't miss them anymore, because you know there's going to be a season two after how amazing this finale was.
And we're going to force Flobo to come back.
Oh my God.
I think the worst of love from now on.
No, you're hooked now. Don't even start that.
Maybe I am, but I can't do this. I can't. My heart was on a line the entire time. Things I thought was yes with no's. No's were yeses. I'm all upside down.
I'm not this excited to hear the answers as I am. Sorry, I can't even talk.
You're shook.
I was more on edge of my seat waiting for the reveal here than Bachelor, than any other show. I don't know. There's like the tension was just built up.
Yeah, something about the editing.
All the families are there. The minister's there. Like, are they going to say yes?
It was everything and more. I know. We're here just like giving you audibles because we just don't have the words. But we're going to find the words to talk about it. First and foremost, I want to introduce myself. I'm your host, Christine Alexis. And I'm here with one of my favorites, Flobo Boyce.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me, because this is a whole new world for me. And this ride is nuts. Thank you.
People are suplexing people's emotions today, Flobo.
I know, man. Give me a cage match. I understand those. A lot easier than this.
And the guru of all things love on here.
Wow.
Mike Feeling.
Thank you. What's up, guys? I'm very, very, very pleased with this finale.
I'm very pleased, too.
I'm glad you're pleased, man, because you know, for a while there, you were on the
Thank
fence.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it. A couple of the middle episodes were kind of, they kind of fumbling along or whatever, and we got some of the backstory, but it delivered in the end.
Yeah, gosh, I don't even really know where to begin, but
we are evil for cheering for all the no's in the truck. For the no's, yeah.
We were. You guys...
Very exciting.
What were we going to say, Flobo?
That cliffhanger started with Damian Jane Enoch, who started there, because I really thought that he was going to be like, of course, I will totally say yes.
Right.
But he said no, and I was like, okay, there's a whole game's change. I can't believe I believed in love. I thought they were going to work it out, and it didn't.
Were you surprised, Mike, that Damian said no?
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. I understand his reasoning, but I'm pretty surprised. Kind of the story arc that they were trying to go with was, you know, she was kind of ruthless and mean sometimes and wishy-washy, and it was kind of a roller coaster. But in the end, she really came back and centered herself down and really realized that this is the man she's supposed to be with. And then Damian was like, nope. I don't want that.
Damian,
I was like, whoa.
He said, no, mama, too little, too late.
Right.
He did not say
that. Too little, too late.
I was pretty shocked.
He didn't say it that way. I too, was very shocked. We spoke about this on our last recap, that we were in for a doozy, considering, like you mentioned, the whole last episode was about Damian professing his love for Gianna, trying to get her to be at the same page that we thought he was on about spending a future together. Yeah. And lo and behold, it all just proved to be too much for him.
Well, I thought they were setting us up for a red herring completely, right? But then, just like we correctly observed, why have her answer first then?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me want to know if production knew the people's answers before they got up in front of everybody. Because if you did, you have to have her answer first, or else there's no cliffhanger potential. Or you got to give a different couple the last.
Yeah, so that way you can tell them the guy in the van to bring the camera with the infinite cable to chase her out when she runs outside the door.
She ran through the woods.
Well, yeah.
You know,
where was she going?
That's
to
a
the
really
highway?
Great point.
Yeah.
About, you know, the way this was edited with the responses with her going first.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk a little bit about why Damian said no. We saw this all season long. They were so hot and cold. You know, what's it called? They really kind of reached like a good point together towards the very end, but it just really seemed like it wasn't enough. And I personally don't blame him, because there hasn't been enough consistency on Giannina's end to really commit to saying yes to this for the rest of your life.
You made that abundantly clear. You're not a fan of G and how genuine she is, or lack of genuine she is. I don't know.
I mean, listen, I'm not alone in my critiques on Giannina. I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter about people not being a fan of her dramatics.
I think the poetry and the running out there like a Maury Povich contestant, that's all her brand. I think it's authentic for her. It's just over top for most of us.
Well, she's going to continue on Instagramming, I suppose. And yeah, I don't know. But, you know, in the end, his theatrics were a little over the top, too, to me. It seemed like a lot of the stuff they were saying was very scripted. I will always love you, G. Always. It's like, bro, this is not how people talk. You know, he's being very overdramatic with all of it, I thought, too.
It was very weird to me that in his interview after the fact, he said that their love story wasn't over. And, it's like, he seemed very hopeful for their future. I'm like, bro, there's no coming back from this.
Yeah, it's over for sure. And it's fine.
Well, the Hollywood story is that 5 years from now, they're at an Instagram influencer convention. They meet back up again and go all kinds of No? Love is Blind, guys? No? All right, fine.
If Love is Blind could be up for, like, an Emmy, I'm pretty sure Giannina was, like, gunning for this. Because, right. I'm sorry, that girl threw me for a loop. But that started this episode off on an awesome note. It definitely let us know that we were in for some surprises.
Yeah, if it was five yeses, that would have been so boring.
That was my prediction, by the way. I feel kind of upset and embarrassed. I said, everyone's going to say yes.
Oh. We've got to give you a little slack for that.
You'll learn. That's not how these things go.
Sorry, guys. I believe in love too much.
Well, on the shows.
I'll always love you, fans. I'll always love you.
Well, this is a good transition into a couple that did find love together. No. We got Amber and Barnett. Woo. And I gotta say, going into this series, I did not see them being one of the only two couples who actually went all the way together.
Absolutely fair. That was one I was going in going, okay, they may be more likely to say no, but after that first no with Damien and Jeannie, I was like, oh, wait, this is definitely going to be a no. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? They're perfect for each other. Their families came together.
I don't know. The only real stress in their relationship was her monetary situation or debt, whatever you want to call it.
It's a big stress. Half couples, you know, in this country divorce over finances.
Yeah. They divorce over finances, but you don't divorce going into a wedding knowing the situation and saying, okay, I love you. I can take your problems on and we can fix them together. Like, we just got to get on a financial plan and work it out. It's not the end of the world. I feel like a lot of the divorces and the problems in marriage come from not talking about money while you're together and not working together on things as you're married. Not the stuff, as long as it's not hidden coming into it, I don't think it's as big as a problem. So I think there's a very surmountable issue to come into a relationship.
Well, taking a step back, though, if you're dating someone that you knew they were broke, a lot of people would say, I won't date someone who's broke. Right?
Or they'll date, but they won't marry them.
That's what I'm saying. This is different because it's a little pod thing, but I think that's a dating question people have.
It all depends. Sure. It depends on what you want, who the other person is, and what your goals are. If Barnett's goals are, I'm super attracted to her, we have a great connection, I'm down to be the provider and protector and whatever, I really just want, you know, a stay-at-home mom for our kids, and that's what she wants, then it matches perfect, and who cares? Mm. It all depends. If you want somebody who's crazy career ambitious and oriented, then obviously Amber is not necessarily the person for you. I also read in one of the articles that part of the reason why she was out of work and stuff was that she was injured. So we don't know necessarily where her head is at with all of that. You know, coming into the show injured, it said she had to wear a boot and stuff, so she couldn't work as the mechanic and things like that. So I don't know. I just think that the tension they tried to give with the two of them. You know, the real drama for them was with Jessica. So the drama that they tried to bring for the two of them isn't really crazy.
It's interesting you brought up that she was injured, you know, before shooting this, because did we mistakenly hear towards the end of the episode her saying, like, she thought she would have been in jail or something before
that
being
was,
on this?
Maybe
she in a fight?
I don't know. I thought maybe that was a joke. Like, if he said no, she was going to get him or something That's the way I took it. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. Woo. Yeah. Why?
That's worth it, too.
Shout out to me reading way too
did
into
she
that.
Steal a tank? Or?
I don't know. Who Amber strikes me as the type to, like, these. Throw hands.
Absolutely.
She told Jessica, I will destroy you.
They really remember close to
before
choking
they kissed.
Range.
before
Jessica kissed her.
Yeah.
Wow. And, I mean, we know now my theory was wrong. You know, the couples weren't at each other's weddings because we didn't see Jessica and Mark in the pews and vice versa
that
with these
so
weddings.
Good
for, they shouldn't I have been anywhere near.
Oh, come on, that would have been great. I still think it would have been great.
We are evil.
Also not mad at how
that's the worst setup that we could have. You guys
led me to a buzzsaw, dude. I just thought some like lovey-dovey stuff, some harps and everything.
Nah.
Yeah.
But to your point, Mike, we did get a lot of fake outs, but ultimately they chose each other.
There were a lot of fake outs in all of these weddings back and forth. Little looks and little... I couldn't tell.
I mean, Barnett nearly didn't show up, so that was...
There was our fake out. Yeah. He texted me that he had cold feet. Yeah.
That story was pretty interesting too, seeing like the first no, and then it comes up and it's her upset and distraught, being like, yeah, I got them texts from Barnett. I'm like, is everyone saying no? Red alert, you know?
Yeah, that's
a cool setup.
That can also be a red herring. Like, I called twice and you didn't pick up. Did his phone die? Was in the other room? I don't pick up every time somebody calls my phone either.
Yeah.
I don't know. He could have been
talking on your wedding day?
No. On the night before. Oh. He could have been talking to his buddies, like calming down, just trying to relax, really stressed out. So that's another thing that could very easily be read into that doesn't really mean anything.
True.
Just with that whole scene, I was just thinking of Sex and the City with Carrie and Big. You know, he's like really nervous in the car and he's like, come on, pick up. I need to hear your voice. I need to be sure. And then, you know, we all know how that ends if you watch the movie.
Yeah.
Well.
Did not.
Oh, wow. So then I'm definitely not going to spoil it for
Chris
you.
Chris North, come on, man.
Yeah, Big, come on.
I know what it is.
Moving on. Man, the most unexpected.
J-Lo, have you watched Sex and the City movie?
Who hasn't watched
Damn
that?
Damn it. Thank you. Me, obviously.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be the guy about love. Like, that's one of the biggest love stories.
Come on, Mike, get it together.
Looks like I am the most in-person of the love
story. Sorry, I only watch real love stories on love reality.
Yeah, edited to perfection with sound bites galore.
Exactly, that's how I like my love polished.
Sure, Dan. All right, guys, we have to get into Kelly and Kenny because wow, I am still...
That's the biggest surprise.
Lord! What a surprise!
That's the biggest shock, I think, of any of them.
I gotta give myself credit, though, because I kind of...
you did!
I kind of
hinted
at this.
How surprised can you be?
Well, I'm surprised because it actually happened.
That's right!
I was like, wow, I was actually right about this.
Yeah.
Kelly and Kenny were going strong all season long. They were seemingly like a sure thing.
Yeah.
There were some doubts about the physical connection, and towards the last few episodes, we did see Kelly being a lot more vocal about the fact that she wasn't quite infatuated with Kenny. She loved him, but she wasn't that over the moon, I'm like acting silly, don't know myself kind of love, which...
Is that what you want, though?
You see in movies, and gosh, as much as I wanted to kind of give her credit in this moment, I really couldn't, because like that infatuation doesn't translate to like real lasting love.
She, I think, with all respect, I think she's got a lot of issues to work out for herself.
Right.
There's something going on there, because she's either fallen way too hard and too fast, or she finds this perfect guy that everybody seems to love, but for some reason she's kind of sabotaging it and doesn't believe in it. I think she's got just some, not like crazy, weird psychological, nothing like that. I think she's just got some personal stuff to work out in her own life, probably before she can accept, you know, the love of a companion.
True.
But do we think what she was saying was valid about the fact that she thinks they're still in the honeymoon phase, and maybe that they didn't see enough adversity to know if they were really meant for each other?
They're all literally in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. It looks like, not to say she's not wrong or she's not right or whatever, but it's like, it does seem like something, almost like a backronym. Hey, why you don't feel them? Because of the honeymoon phase. We didn't feel like there was adversity.
Right.
I feel like if you really like the person, you really had the heat, you would have said yes. If you say no because it's too fast, I'll give you credit for that. But the reason that you're not going to do it because times are too good doesn't make sense to me. And poor Kenny. It looked like he was, you saw at the bar at the moment, his heart crushed.
Kenny.
And he had to do a speech to the point where even Kelly's mom was like, yo, he's pretty dope.
He didn't have to do that.
Kelly's mom said, I love that guy.
He's a man.
I don't know why. He didn't have to do that speech. He just kind of took it upon himself. I'm the person, obviously, who's constantly saying this is not a realistic way to fall in love. This is obviously artificial. It makes a lot of sense to not be in love with somebody after knowing them for a few weeks. So I kind of go back and forth on it. It seemed perfect for them, but it's completely reasonable to say, I'm not actually, you know, I don't know where I'm at. I barely know this person.
Yeah.
But it seems like her reasoning behind it is suspect.
It's suspect to me because she literally directly contradicted herself in one sentence talking about, it was after she said that she's not in love. She said it wasn't about the timing. Oh, maybe I wrote that wrong. But she seemed to like give that excuse about like the infatuation and not being there, but then said it was about timing and her just not being ready. It's like, I feel like those are two very big different reasons.
True. I guess you can never know truly until you actually experience it. But one would think if you're going to go on this show,
right,
you got to imagine that you're ready to do this. And what more would she want than Kenny? There was zero negatives whatsoever. If she at least had a couple things to say that didn't jive or gel in the relationship, like, okay. But everything, I think she even said all the boxes were checked, right? So it's very strange. Yeah, I think it's something internal that maybe she's not talking about, some kind of insecurities or, I don't know, something along those lines.
True.
Poor Kenny, because, you know, up until this point, she did lead him to believe that everything was all good.
Poor Kenny, but all these people, okay, who got dumped, let's call it, are going to be fine. They're all really nice people. They're attractive. They seem really cool. They're going to have non-ending DMs of wanting to go out and date. They are not going to be single as long as they want to.
I won't allow you to do that.
Come on.
These people got their heart broken. They got their hands in the flame. They are still in pain. You're saying, go walk it off. It's still going to hurt. He got dumped on his wedding day. He had to do a little speech to make sure he's telling his face. Yeah, he's going to get someone else, but it's going to hurt for a while.
I think that a while is much, much, much truncated because they're like, well, this was a reality show. This is kind of a crazy, like, experience, but now I'm back to my regular job and stuff like that. I wasn't really
in love or engaged, right? And then 2 years later, when it gets released on Netflix, it happens again.
I guess, but I saw pictures of them all hanging out at the premiere party and stuff, and of course, just pictures, whatever, but they all look happy and whatever. There's definitely a difference. You know, we see contestants on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette going home crying that they got sent home after knowing someone for 3 days. There's no way they actually...
Rejection hurts, though.
Rejection, yeah. Of course. Rejection is never fun. It's never fun at all. Again, they're not meant to be with these people. You don't want to be with someone who acts like that towards you. You know what I mean?
You know what? Justice for Kenny. I think he... Like, I'm not going to knock Kelly because she's stood in her truth. But Kenny, man. And I personally loved that we got, like, a kind of a human moment from him for once, because he's been so just like straightforward and almost robotic about how he felt. But to see him get really angry at that producer and say, Jimmy, stop filming
me. Jimmy. Poor Jimmy's Jimmy. Just doing his job, bro. Jimmy's got to be there. What do you want Jimmy to do?
Yeah, not to say that I relished in his pain, but it was a kind of a real moment, because that's got to hurt. I'm with you there, Flobo.
Regardless stop of filming.
The turnaround time, that sucks.
There's literally only one thing I can't do, that's stop filming, bro. We have to make this show.
Union says,
Yikes. But, you know, later on, you know, in the episode, he does kind of tell the camera he's going to be okay. And we seem to agree here on the panel. You're going to be okay, Kenny.
You're going to be fine. Good
guy. God.
Good
All guy. Right. We have two couples left. Are we doing the shocker or the... Well, neither of these were surprising, actually.
No, they weren't.
They kind of went the way that we thought they would.
Yeah.
With Mark and Jessica, at least.
Let's end on the happy note.
Let's
just
end
like
on a happy
did.
Note. So let's get into Mark and Jessica.
Mm-hmm. I was happy.
Mark and Messica.
Messica.
Okay, and again, my frustration with Jessica, I don't know if it's the producer just setting her up to look real, real stupid here, but we get Jessica going into her wedding day saying she's found the over-the-moon World Series knock-it-out-of-the-park type of love. And girl... How could you still
Best
be
friend.
Saying
Not
this?
For me.
I have it. All these adjectives that you use. I found it. I have it. It's my fiance. Tone it down a little bit.
Thank you.
I mean, come on. She's obviously not watching the same show we're watching. No one is buying this, right? And unless there's some shred of hope where you say, okay, like, maybe she truly, like, came to her senses. But then to flat out just to get up there and be like, no. Well, I'm going to say no. Well, why?
Well,
why are we lying about all this? I don't know. It makes for a good show.
It does.
But it could also be just as interesting to hear the real thought process, perhaps.
Good point. I think, once I get the last couple, however, saying Justice for Kenny, I had it out for Mark's mom, because she had that look in her face that's like, you're my son, you're my baby boy, I support what you do, but, oh, baby, you're crying, your heart's broken. And he was like, no, forget it, mom, but Mark should have saw it coming. He should have saw it coming from day one. Everything was always a pull, here's our date, here's our pod recreation. This guy did everything he could, and if she said yes, it would almost be like a flawed victory, because what does that have? What does that mean? You got someone that's rebuttal for you. But I'm almost glad she said no, because Mark can find someone to do it in Tesoro.
1,000% glad she said no.
I'm also glad she said no. They were not a good match for each other. Mm-hmm. I think, as much as, like, we've obviously been, like, I guess more so Team Mark on this panel, because Jessica's just been acting a little crazy, I think he also has some work to do on himself, because regardless of this, the parameters of this experiment, you should not be, like, begging someone to love you like that. Absolutely. I think he needs to have some more dating, like, serious dating experience, and really learn his value and his worth and act on it. Not just, like, up here, but choose someone who's going to treat you the way you deserve.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
you dropped the microphone.
There's nothing else to say about it. Of course, it's good that they didn't end up together. To be fair and to give her any credit, she shouldn't be settling either. We know she doesn't like him, so she shouldn't. But she also doesn't need to do all the exposition about how amazing she is that she's finally found him. That's unnecessary. And just I don't know, anybody who watches this now, the more and more you hear from her, the less authentic she comes off.
That's fair.
Well, especially because, excuse me, of the moment that we get later on after the fact, where she tells the camera that she, you know, she gets really real and honest about why she said no. And she's like, I'll apologize to some people if I need to. I know this was bad, but, like, I'm not actually sorry. And I would have never been able to say yes.
Right.
That's, again, we knew this, but, like, girl, you dead wrong for, like, trying to convince him of that up until the very last minute.
Absolutely wretched. And here's why it got me so mad this season. Because it wasn't like, you know, give credit to Kelly. It was like, yo, this is what I like about Homeboy, but this is what I don't like about Kenny. With Jessica, it was always these chains that were always moving. You're too young. Mm-hmm. You're not experienced. Well, I kind of like Barnett. Well, I don't like him anymore. Well, what did your family think? There's no one to keep moving around to make sure you're happy, to the point where, again, like I said earlier, you don't want to be together. So Jessica's sitting there on her high horse, on her tuffet, being like, I don't care. I'm all about it. It was just like, I just felt like someone said, hey, Flobo, thanks for checking out the show, smack, smack. You know what I'm saying? I was upset. I was mad.
I feel bad for all their friends and family. They all had to get dressed up and done up and come to this sham wedding. Especially if you go in knowing you're going to say no. Why make all your friends and stuff go through that? I don't know. It's weird. You don't get to know the secrets of the production behind the scenes, what had to happen, who was already invited, were they in control of the invites, and things like that. Because, man, if I knew I was going to tell somebody no, I wouldn't embarrass my family and stuff and make them come through to this thing.
The no weddings are really, really small. They were like 30 people.
They were. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But still, I don't know. Maybe they got a nice party out of it after or something.
I mean, I don't know. At this point, I got to say, of all the characters that we've met on this show, I'm most interested to see what Jessica's second act is going to be after this. Like, how do you bounce back in the dating world after the way she, like, exposed herself and, like, who she really is on this show, you know?
We don't have a solid pick for Bachelorette, so ABC.
I don't know.
Find someone who's on Netflix, that's for sure.
A little crossover, potentially. Wow. Who knows? Mm. All right, we got to get to our happy ending with Lauren and Cameron.
Also, very, very predictable. I think it would have been a big shock if they said no, because they've been so perfect the whole time.
I'm actually surprised the show tried to drum up a little drama with them, because we knew. Come on. We knew. After Lauren's dad showed up, I was like, okay, this is going down.
Yeah.
You know? Because that was really the only other major conflict that they had about, you know, their families accepting them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren's dad was on board. Her brother showed up to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful ceremony. But Lauren did tell us from jump, she didn't know what she was going to say until the words came out of her mouth.
Right.
Very dramatic. But I think she knew, personally. I think she knew.
They seem so perfect. All their dates, everything. They seem to be matching up on all different sorts of levels, where we can't say that for the other couples. So it would have been, like I said, really surprising if they said no. So it's nice to end the show on a happy ending. It's obviously was edited together that way. We had a really good cliffhanger with Giannina and Damien, and then we end on a happy ending.
For sure.
Yeah, you guys are totally right. It was a happy ending for all.
So that was it, guys. That was all the couples.
Mark is still went back to the altar and cried.
He went by himself at night just to cry.
Go home, bro.
She just looked past the fact that I tried really hard, she might like me again. No, she doesn't like you.
Oh, my God. Oh, didn't we all think he was about to run after her?
I sure did.
Please don't. Just
self-respect, man.
Yeah.
Self-respect time.
I'm glad he had a moment. Like I said, he needs to do some serious work on himself.
I really thought in that moment that she was going to say yes and he was going to say no. I thought he was going to do a Damien. You know what? I don't deserve all the stuff you put me through. I really reflected on
that'd
it.
That'd be fun.
And it's not fair, to get a yes out of all this now.
These middle fingers to the wind. What?
That's not what happened, though.
Okay, yeah.
That's a good point. And I'm glad that you brought up Damien, too, because reflecting on their relationship, we kind of talked about this off air that Giannina never met his parents, or at least we never saw him meeting her parents, his parents, rather. And there was a very telling moment in their fight early on where she said that his parents said something along the lines of, don't go marrying some whore off of some reality TV show. So maybe that was everything he needed to know.
Maybe.
Early on.
It's one of those things where I thought that couple was going to say yes, but I was easily able to find the one I thought would be the most miserable. Even more so than Jessica and Martin, because they were so different, how their communication styles were and how Damien would fester before even snapping. I just thought that was just toxic. But so I guess it was all for the best.
All for the best. So is Love Blind?
Oh, that was going to be my next question. It begs the question, right? Is Love Blind? The couple's answered, and now it's time for us to answer.
I guess I'll go first, because I want to thank you or blame Netflix for this. Walking into this, I thought legitimately love was. I thought that if you really, really care about someone and their vibe and their energy, you can find a connection on some level. I've learned elsewise that after this show, it's not. A lot of things were physical for Mark and Jessica, for Kelly and Kenny, even for Cameron and Lauren, or Janine and Damien. There was always a physical component in there. Mm-hmm. Even the couple you didn't think that would be an issue with Kelly and Kenny, at the end, the physical aspect of it totally would derail that ship. So, scientifically proven, in this weird reality show way, love is not blind.
I think you explained it perfectly.
I'm glad you went first, actually.
Unfortunately, man. My heart's broken.
Explain
it. Hey, ladies, I'm single, but my heart's broken, man.
Completely concur.
Yeah, I mean, even despite Amber and Barnett working out and Lauren and Cameron, I still think love is not blind.
The whole point is they worked out because they are also attracted to each other. Like, that's the whole thing, right? Again, Jessica, no real problem with Mark's personality. He's short, young, and she's not attracted to him. You don't have anybody out there who's going to be saying, I'm so, just emotionally, I'm so connected to my husband or wife. Not attracted to them at all. I think they're pretty ugly. But the emotional attraction is just so there. We had to get married.
Right, because do you want a love that's blind? Like, is that even something you'd, like...
You know what it is? It kind of throws in the face of what we learned and brought up. We want to be seen as good people. So we think of that as, that's not something we do. And if you're in a situation where someone's perfect but they don't look a certain way, you get like, well, he's nice to me, but...
I think a lot of people say that, but they know.
Well, we're also taking it very, very literally, right? So it is true, love is blind to things. So you can overlook certain flaws perhaps in somebody or certain things that you might not like because you love them. But if we're talking straight physical appearance... No.
Netflix. It's all your fault.
Wow. I mean,
and that's okay.
That's okay. I mean, this is life. You choose. Mm-hmm. You know, love will take you on a roller coaster, but
love is blind is life.
Is it?
Yes. Nick Lachey and Vanessa really gave us some life lessons.
I would say they phoned it in on this one.
They deserve to be in the finale. That is unfair.
They didn't even come to work on the last day of the season.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments about Nick and Vanessa Lachey's presence on the show.
Really hyped up. Hosted by... I mean, do you mean dropping in
twice? I want that job.
Well, since we're at the end of the series, I definitely want to talk about season 2 because we mentioned it briefly on our last recap. Mm. I know you threw out a theory about Jessica potentially being a two-timer on the show. But we realized that can't happen.
That was so dumb of me. I think about it and I was like, wait a minute. Everybody's going to know what she looks like if any of these people go back on the show again. So I definitely think there's going to be a season 2. The show is super successful on Netflix.
Massive.
I think they're going to open it up more. As we said yesterday, the last episode, we read in the article that they actually started with 15 men, 15 women. There was a lot more people.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to open up their production capabilities to handle a lot more potential couples. And we can see some really interesting pairs.
True. We can see some different backgrounds. We didn't see any representation with Asian Americans this go around. People with disabilities. That'd be kind of interesting to see. That's part of the experiment.
Definitely. I mean, I wanted to ask as well, because we kind of complained about it a little bit in the beginning, that there was so much going on, we didn't know how to, stay grounded with the couples.
Yeah.
And then quickly that changed. So I don't know if I'm mad at that production decision to keep it to what we saw, because if we did see all 15 couples, I don't know that we could have done this in 10 episodes.
It is, knowing what we know now, I'm not sure exactly how they would have, but I do think in the first episode, I would have appreciated the explanation that we read in the article. Here are the 30 people, and we've dated down to the top 10 or something like that. Okay, and now let's watch it past then. That would have been interesting to kind of see.
Yeah, to be fair.
Flo, but what other changes would you like to see going into season two? I think that's something we can talk about.
I think having some of the rules up front would be great. Say, hey, look, there's only five are moving on, or only choosing six or seven. That's great. Because look, the first episode, we sat there, and we tried this graph of everyone that was ever mentioned, thinking, was everyone important? Oh, no. Right. Half the people I've ever seen again.
Who is LC?
Who is LC? She was actually my favorite. But you know what I'm saying? So I think as long as those are more clear, I'd be on board.
Yeah. I mean, those are definitely very, like, logistical things. I just know for myself, going into season two, if we have a dynamic like how we did with Jessica, Amber, and Barnett, I do love the idea that the couples get to stay together in Mexico at some point and kind of like break the seal on the experiment, let everyone see each other, rather. So I hope that stays for season two.
Oh, yeah, we need that drama.
I also want to see... I don't know. I guess I would want to see maybe them go back to their jobs at some point and see, like, some, you know, coworker water cooler talk, you know, conversations, like, with the people in their lives.
We don't get that on Married at First Sight. They go back to their jobs, but we don't see anything really with their outside lives except for, like, the handful of friends, like you saw here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they would go into, because then you got to get corporate permission and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. But more interaction of them just in general in real life, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to see this experiment any longer, shorter?
Wow.
If you're doing the five couples, I think 10 episodes is perfect. But if you're going to do, like, more couples and have people, like, you know, have an A squad and B squad, where you have, like, these, like, two, like, weaving storylines, it would be cool to have, like, 15 or so to see how this group is going to have their wedding decision this week and this group's going to have it next week. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, some of the middle episodes, like I said, I thought dragged a little bit. But overall, I like the theming. Here's the bachelorette party one. Here's the picking tuxes and dresses. Here's the honeymoon stuff. So 10 seems pretty good.
Idea.
Here we go. This is going to be great. It was a brainstorm.
Or really lame.
All right.
Is it a possibility to have, like, maybe after the retreat, a chance to go back to your second choice in the pods? You could have a list of pod mates.
You change your choice? Yeah. Wow, that's dangerous.
That'd be a golden, like, this is not working out.
Then it would literally be Love Is Not Blind because you saw the person and were like, nah.
Well, Carlton and I did things of them ending that having a no thread. It might have a diamond went back and said, hey, look, my second choice was actually Rory.
Right. Yeah. For people who didn't work out somehow like that. Yeah.
That's an idea. Those things will be baked.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Carlton and Diamond again, because that's something I want to see on next season. I definitely want to see another, you know, queer couple, you know, explore these themes, because that was like a huge conversation starter and I think challenged a lot of people's understandings or mindsets behind marriage and what should be disclosed beforehand.
Or playing off what your suggestion was, if all the people in the experiment who didn't match up, they get to go on the honeymoon and you say, okay, you did get to know a lot of people. Well, now we'll just let you guys kind of mix and mingle and see if something else happens. And maybe, I mean, because isn't that kind of the point of the show? We want to see people get together in uncommon circumstances. So maybe a couple of people do find love when you actually give them a chance to talk, like, off camera and just be chill and mingle around.
Spin off series.
That'd be cool. And then they can kind of support the other main couples or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it would seem like it would be two different test groups proving
that's
what it is or isn't.
Cool.
At the same time, that would be an interesting twist.
More Nick Lachey.
More Nick Lachey. Definitely more Nick Lachey.
More Vanessa Lachey.
More Vanessa.
Well, I think we've explored almost every possible outcome, you know, or idea going to season two. I'll be happy to see how the producers shake things up or not. But it's safe to say I'm hooked. Are you guys hooked?
Yeah, I have one question, though.
I'm here.
This is your opinion. If you had all the money, all the budget in the world, would you release, like, a bachelorette kind of cycle, or just two shows a year? Or would you have the whole calendar year go by? Or is it something that doesn't really... Because I feel like this is the kind of show that would be great for the winter, for around Valentine's Day, and then the holidays, too. Or, like, even, like, a fall and a spring kind of version.
Something like this, I think, is relatively inexpensive to produce. I think they could easily do two cycles a year.
I'm down for that.
Dang, we just got a new reality TV franchise.
There's enough content.
Coming through.
New couples, just like we see in Bachelor and all these shows, they produce new drama, new storylines, just from the essence of being different people. So it can support it, I think.
Ooh, hot take, maybe a spinoff about what happens to the couples who do make it out of this. Because as one, I think it was a fan submitted article that we all saw, that these couples were actually together for... quite a while. This was filmed in 2018.
Mm-hmm. You're getting into the zone of like, I forgot we actually even did that. I wanted to live in my life again.
But the same way we have before the 90 days, 90 Day Fiancé, mm-hmm. 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, I would be dying to see
Married at First Sight, Happily Ever After. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the ones that don't work out too. Like, are you hitting them up on Instagram, sliding back in the DMs, trying to meet up, make it work again? Who knows? I want
to
know.
What is Rory up to?
Justice for Rory. Oh, man. Well, maybe it'll be like bonus content for next season.
Yeah.
By the way.
Update. Here's Giannina.
Selfies.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll be keeping you guys. We'll be keeping updated on everything Love is Blind in the meantime until our show comes back, until we officially get greenlit for season 2.
Cross the fingers.
But in the meantime, guys, it's been so fun recapping the show with you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Netflix, thank you for our new guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Until next time, you guys can catch me hosting the Bachelor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, and you can keep up with me on social media at Christine Bean.
And you can follow me over at Twitter at FloBoBoys, on Instagram at Flobita, and of course, Flobita.com. Netflix, you've done corrupted my mind.
These people are used to not seeing each other, so some of them should definitely go on the next season of The Circle.
Oh.
Guys, my name is Mike Feeling. You follow me everywhere at Mike Feeling.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
We love you, whether we see you or not.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.